It's a very interesting study as we concentrate on the theme of Christmas as it's presented to us in the Bible, to give consideration to the persons that were involved. Over the years, we have done that, but I can't ever remember spending very much time on one of those particular characters. But we're going to do that for a few minutes as we come to a close in our service tonight. He is Joseph, of whom we have read here in Matthew chapter 1. A young man marked by excellence of character and mildness and a gracious manner with regard to his disposition, and that will come out very clearly. He was the wife, or to be the wife of Mary, and he did take her before our Bible reading ends, and also the legal father and foster father of Jesus, the one who was born of the Virgin Mary. As we come tonight to give consideration to this young man, we do so at a most critical time in his life. As soon as we read these words, we realize, as far as Joseph could see, there was a crisis of no mean proportions. I think this will become obvious as we look at Joseph as he is brought before us in this story. I'm mindful of the time, so we'll not detain you overly. But there are three things I want to draw your attention to about this meek, mild, gracious man of such sterling character. And the first one is the discovery that he made. A day had come in the life of this young man whenever he had met Mary, this young virgin girl from Galilee. They developed an affection for each other, which led to love, and then a contract. We call it today an engagement. The Bible days called it an espousal, which was nearly like a marriage. It was actually giving your word, no matter what would happen, that each was going to take the other as wife and as husband. This young man was a carpenter by trade. We don't know very much of Mary, except that she resided in Galilee, but both of them were of the house of David. So as the future is bright for anyone contemplating marriage and preparing for it, it was no exception for this young man and his wife to be. But this crisis dawned, and it came about through a remarkable discovery that Joseph made. This discovery, first of all, caused a shock. And the discovery was that Mary was going to have a baby. It was apparent by the fact that her physical appearance was undergoing a great change. It was a shock to Joseph because he knew he had absolutely nothing to do with this. His wife was going to have a baby, but it would not be his. Imagine how he thought. Imagine how the hopes that he had were suddenly dashed by this discovery. Was Mary unfaithful? It appeared in the eyes of Joseph because of what he was going to do. But I want to assure you that she was not unfaithful. The Bible says that she was blessed among women, and God said that you have found favor with God. So that is not the explanation. And it's a shame on those leaders of the Christian church in a bygone period that said as much. One noted theologian from America, and this is what he said, and I have it on record. He says that the Lord Jesus was the result of a union between Mary and a German mercenary soldier that was in the Roman army. The Roman garrison was stationed around Nazareth and Galilee. And he came to that conclusion, or supposition at any rate, that history said that Jesus was fair in complexion. How he knows that, I don't know. But he said, in all likelihood, this is how it happened that the Lord Jesus was born. Did you ever hear such blasphemy and such rubbish that runs contrary to the Scripture. But then in England, way back perhaps in the 40s and 50s, there was another noted leader, so-called, in Christian circles. And he said that probably that Mary and Zacharias had gotten together. Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist, and as a result of that, the Lord Jesus Christ was conceived and eventually born. My dear friend, if you're going to reject the virgin birth outright, you're going to leave yourself open to terrible speculation and supposition, and maybe even belief. The Bible nowhere leads us to have any inclination to believe that that's how the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Rather, to the contrary. But as far as Joseph was concerned, he's a man in shock. His dreams had collapsed all around him. But not only did this discovery cause a shock, this discovery caused sorrow, thinking of his future. Not only now could he not get married because of what had happened, he felt, but the law made provision for him. And because of the time factor, we'll not look at it. But you read it yourself in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and in chapter 24, the law made provision of a man who could legitimately find something that was untrue or of an infidel nature in the one he was going to marry. He could not only divorce her, but have her stoned to death publicly. Deuteronomy chapter 22 and Deuteronomy chapter 24. Now, why I said that Joseph was of excellent character and of a mild disposition, it tells us in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. That was his, was minded to divorce her privily, so that there would be nothing public about it. He would shield her from the awful rancor that her alleged act had brought her to. And he would divorce her quietly. Could I say this to us tonight? That whenever we are hurt by someone, and deeply hurt, that we be like Joseph here, and that if somebody is definitely to blame for the hurt that we have been suffering, that if there has to be a response, let's make sure that while it may be fair and firm and scriptural, that it's done with as much leniency as what Joseph did with the one that was going to be his wife. But then again, it may be, and this is why we've got to make sure we don't act rashly, it may be that we're totally mistaken in what we think. Joseph was mistaken. He thought that Mary was untrue, but it was not so, as we'll see in a moment. So that's all the more reason that we act with care, that we act with thought as Joseph did, and not make rash decisions or rash responses, especially in this area of human relationships. The discovery that he made. But notice, secondly, the disclosure that he received. Notice verse 20. But while he thought on these things, and you don't need a very vivid imagination to know that he thought on these things. The man was heartbroken. His whole future was in ruins. The one that he loved and was looking forward to being married to had, in his eyes, become unfaithful. But while he thought on these things, a tremendous disclosure was made to him. Verse 20. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. First of all, this disclosure gave him great encouragement. A heavenly being was sent to him to tell him this. Your wife-to-be, who's carrying a child. There was no human being involved in this. He has no human father. A human is not responsible for this, but rather the child has come about because of the Holy Ghost's work. And we saw something of that this morning whenever we were looking at a place in Luke chapter 1. The Holy Ghost is responsible. Notice what he said in verse 20, the last part. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It's the mystery, my dear friend, of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the womb of the Virgin Mary when God was manifest in the flesh. But not only was there encouragement for Joseph here to listen to the truth that your wife-to-be has not been unfaithful, there was also an enlightenment, an explanation given to her. First of all, notice verse 21, the child that Mary's going to have will be a son. His name will be called Jesus. He is the Savior. And his birth is the fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. What a tremendous truth is. What a tremendous form of assurance for this man. Notice verse 21. She shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, my dear friend, think of that message. This one in the womb of Joseph's wife-to-be was one whom the Lord God Almighty is saying is to be the Savior of people. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, in order to save sinners. Notice the word, he shall save his people from their sins. We have noticed time and time again that sins is that violation of God's law, that disregard of God's person, that rejection of God's will for us. And that will damn us. But God has loved us nonetheless while he hates our sin. And he has sent his Son, the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary in order to eventually save his people from their sins, which would mean 33 years after this, he would go to Calvary's cross and lay down his life a ransom for us. Joseph is hearing all of this. And because he's hearing it, and because it's recorded in God's Word, we are hearing it tonight, that the Savior has come. The Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Lamb foreordained from before the foundation of the world, in order to bring salvation to you and me. In loving kindness, Jesus came, our souls in mercy to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, in love, he lifts us. That's the message, ladies and gentlemen. That's the message that God wants you to hear. That's the message that you and I must respond to positively. But notice when it came, when Joseph was asleep. Notice verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Now, if you're familiar with the early chapters dealing with the incarnation and birth of Christ, you'll know the dreams figured prominently. Let me tell you a story. It's true. A young man, great preacher of the Word of God in England, away in a bygone generation, was studying a text of Scripture on Saturday night, and he was becoming desperate. He believed it was the Lord's will for him to preach in this text, but he couldn't get it opened. He said he had taken down all his commentaries, and none of them seemed to open it up for him the way he felt it should be opened up. And he says to his wife, he says, what am I going to do? It's near Sunday morning. I've stayed up so late. I can't get this opened. And she says, and she tells the story in his autobiography. She said, you go to bed, dear, and I'll waken you early in the morning. And if you get a few hours good solid sleep, then you'll be able to have a fresh mind and come to this. He says, well, will you waken me? She says, I'll waken you. And in a short time, he went to bed and went to sleep. It was very late. She said, when daylight was just beginning to appear, she woke up to the sound of his voice lying beside her. And he began to be saying things from this particular verse that he couldn't open up. It was Psalm 110, verse 3. Part of the verse says, thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. And she realized he's preaching the message he was preparing last night. And she says, I couldn't get out of bed. I'm afraid to disturb him. So she said, I cried unto the Lord, Lord, let me remember these main points. Because if I can bring before him the main points of the sermon, he'll be able to develop it. And she said, she felt confident that she could remember it and tell him in the morning. But because of the lateness of the hour that they went to bed, She slept in. And he woke up. He says, "Wifey, look at the time it is. You said you would waken me." She says, "Dear, don't be afraid. I have news for you. I have got the message." "You have got the message?" "Yes, you were preaching from that text in your sleep." And she went over it. He says, "I see it now. I see it now." And down to a study he went, and he prepared that message. It was the greatest, one of the greatest preachers that this world has ever seen, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he was only about 22 years of age whenever that experience happened. I'm not saying that dreams are all the be-all and end-all, but I'll tell you this, that God can. He has various ways of exercising his providence. And sometimes it can come in a dream that of God wants to get the ear of people. Let me read to you very quickly from chapter 33 of the book of Job. He says, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, in slumberings upon the bed. Then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man." God was getting at a man through a dream when he didn't get at him another way. Joseph went to bed that night, perturbed, heartbroken, thinking of it. And God came to him in the middle of the night with his word and made a tremendous disclosure to him. The last thing I want to say is this. We've seen the discovery that he made, the disclosure that he received. Notice the directive he obeyed. Notice verse 24. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Notice how clearly this directive was given. "You've got to waken up now, Joseph. You've nothing to worry about. Just go and take Mary now and shield her from false suppositions that people will make when they see her this way and not married." He says, "Remember, this is what Isaiah the prophet prophesied, that a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." It was clear. And my dear friend, God's directives to us are clear too. Simply, repent and believe the gospel. The gospel. Turn from your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. It's clear cut in the gospel. The Lord doesn't use ambiguous language. The Lord doesn't leave men and women in doubt. He says, "Repent or perish." It's in black and white, my dear friend. While there may be things in the Bible that are hard to be understood, this is not one of them. God has made it plain that salvation is to be found only in his Son, and it's for sinners, for you and me. How clearly this directive was given, and then how promptly it was performed. Notice the word "then" in verse 24. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." Oh, you can imagine the gladness of his heart. "Mary, I see it now. I understand it now. I'm sorry for ever doubting you and your faithfulness and loyalty to me." He took her in. And he kept her there, now as his wife, until the baby Jesus was born at the appointed time. He called him Jesus, just as the Lord said. And the word Jesus is the Old Testament word Joshua, and it means salvation. What a name. Is it any wonder people who love the Lord Jesus could sing or write how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear? It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. What a name. And this is the name that we want you to love tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and girls and boys. Take the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. What an outcome to the crisis that this young man experienced, the crisis that confronted Joseph. Is there a crisis in your life? In the area, as we've already noticed, in human relationships? go to the Word of God for guidance, just as Joseph got it from the Old Testament. Is there an area in your life where you're in crisis with regard to that greatest relationship of all, how you are related to the Lord Jesus? Are you an enemy of His? Are you rebelling against His sovereignty? Or would you not tonight bow the knee like those wise men of whom we read of later in Matthew 2, or those shepherds of whom we heard of tonight earlier? They came and they worshiped the Lord, and brought their gifts, and brought themselves. Will you do that? Receive Him into your heart and go on your way rejoicing like Joseph, knowing that a Savior has come who was promised according to God's holy word.